Mark chapter 16 this morning. Last week we talked about the great adventure. And I wasn't planning on playing the song until Jill said, "This is part two, isn't it? How can you do that without the song?" So here's the song. I think you just fixed it, James. We're not going to do the whole song, but I just want to do a part of it. Listen to the words. Okay, thank you, James. That was perfect. How many also had a hard time not playing air guitar when that was going on? Like I promised, I wasn't going to begin today's service with Stairway to Heaven. But there's something about that song that and it's not really the song, it's the call of God upon each one of our lives. We have all been called to this great adventure. And it is the most amazing adventure. It is what you were created, or let me say it this way, it's what you were recreated for. It's what the Spirit of God has come upon you to do, and that is to represent Him in the earth, but not in just some natural capacity, but actually carrying the Spirit of God with you, with the ability to demonstrate the kingdom of God in people's lives, releasing the miracle that they need. It's amazing how open people are to the gospel when God heals something in their body, or when God does something to restore a relationship, or God does something in any capacity. When God visits somebody, when they have an encounter with God, my wife always says, she says, people are just one encounter with God away from a whole new theology. I prayed for a guy one time. It was in Brazil. He didn't believe that God healed. After he got healed, he struggled with that. And his theology totally changed. It's like, okay then, maybe I don't understand everything about God. So anyway, I want to start with the portion of Scripture that we ended with last Sunday and with the last in your notes that I shared. So in your notes, God will never ask you to do something that He won't empower you to do. God will never ask something of you that He won't give you the ability to do it. Jesus said that you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Power to be my witness. Power to demonstrate my kingdom. So let's begin with this portion of Scripture in Mark chapter 16, starting in verse 15. And He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. How many believers are here this morning? I'm just doing this so I can tell how many people need to get saved before the end of the service. No, these signs will follow those who believe. The only qualification is to be a believer. It doesn't say, well, the apostles and the prophets. No, it says these signs will follow those who believe. Believers will cast out demons. Believers will speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink anything poison, it won't hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. What I am reading to you is an invitation into the great adventure. It is a life like no other. This is what you were created for. For such a time as this, you have come into the kingdom. But you must be willing to step out of your comfort zone. Necesitamos salir de nuestra zona de confort. This is a life like no other. This is the great adventure. Esta es la gran aventura. This is it. You know, we finished last Sunday talking about breaking off self-imposed limitations. Sometimes we can embrace a limitation that we kind of put on ourselves. Let me give you an example with my own life. When I was in sixth grade, I was just getting ready to leave elementary school and go into junior high, and I was told that one of the required classes was speech. That absolutely terrified me. I had friends, one-on-one, everything's fine, but as far as speaking in front of people, no way. And so I discovered that if you take band and a foreign language, that was the way you could get out of speech class. So 7th, 8th, and 9th grade, I played the trumpet. And I didn't really learn much Spanish, but I was there. That was so worth it to me. I can't tell you. I remember one time I was in 10th grade, and I'm in an English class, and I'm supposed to give a book report. And I got up in front of the class, and my friend said, my face just turned red. Well, I felt flustered, and it was like my mouth didn't work. Like I kept trying to say things, and it was like I was getting tangled up with my words. And so I chose a limitation that I'm never going to speak in front of people. How many know that God wasn't okay with that? I can remember I was part of a young church. We were Jesus people, and we had this thing on Thursday nights where people would get up and just share a thought. It wasn't preaching or anything like that. You might share a scripture and a thought. And there was a thought burning on my heart so bad that I thought, okay, I'm going to do that. God, I'll do it. Well, that was on a Sunday night that I called the pastor and asked if I could share on the Thursday. And on Wednesday, I can't believe I did this, but that word was burning so hard in me that I had a whole message, and I needed to get it off. I needed to get it out. It was burning in me, and I called him up on Wednesday. I said, is there anybody else that's sharing on Thursday yet? He said, no, nobody yet. I said, can I share a message? I can't believe I did that. And I remember when I shared that message, my mouth got so dry that when I closed my mouth, it was like my tongue stuck to the roof of my mouth. All I'm saying is, sometimes we choose limitations that God says, no, I want to break that limitation off of you. You know, we as believers, it's important for each one of us to stop believing the lies of the enemy and start believing God. That's what believers do. We believe God. What does God say about you? You are the salt of the earth. You are the one to give flavor. You are the light of the world, bringing light into darkness. You are an overcomer. You are strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I'm talking about who you are in God. Now, I want to repeat something that I shared last week, the elephant story, and then we're going to head into new territory. But elephant trainers have discovered that they can get a really young lion and start training it by creating a real limitation. It's real. And they do that by pounding a long metal stake into the ground and fastening a rope that's actually braided with some metal so it's strong, and they tie it to the post and they tie it around one of the legs of the elephant, and that young elephant tries and tries and tries to get free. Tries to become untethered and absolutely cannot do it because the limitation is real. And eventually that young lion will stop trying. They will accept the limitation. What did I say? Anyway, where were we at with the giraffe? That young elephant will stop trying to get free. It'll just embrace the limitation. And here's the weird part. Even when that elephant grows up and he's fully grown, they can pound a wooden stake in the ground and just a regular rope and tie it around its leg, and it won't try to get free because it has embraced a limitation, even though in reality it could easily break free. It won't, because it has embraced a limitation that is not real. The limitation is in the elephant's mind, and it's not an actual real limitation. But that elephant is controlled and restricted by a limitation that isn't real. Now, I want us to watch a short video about fleas. I know that's why most of you came to church today. I think this is less than a minute, but could we pop that video on, James? Awesome.
Training fleas requires a glass jar with a lid.
Just in case you didn't catch this part.
The fleas are placed inside the jar, and the lid is then sealed. They are left undisturbed for 3 days. Then, when the jar is opened, the fleas will not jump out. In fact, the fleas will never jump higher than the level set by the lid. Their behavior is now set for the rest of their lives. And when these fleas reproduce, their offspring will automatically follow their example.
Wow, is all I can say. The fleas only bang their head a few times on the lid, well, and then they begin to memorize their boundaries. And even if you remove the lid, the fleas won't jump out. They have been conditioned by their environment. And I guess I just want to ask the question, are we any different than these fleas? Have we been conditioned by our environment? Our thinking conditions us to live and operate a certain way. A paradigm is a reality that we've created through our thinking. We tend to exist within the paradigm we have developed, which is like being in a jar. We have paradigms about ourselves, about life. And those paradigms shape and restrict us in all kinds of ways. They totally affect our behavior. I heard a story one time about this guy. His name was Steve, and he had certain thoughts about his boss. He didn't trust his boss. He actually didn't think his boss liked people. Now, the paradigm that he had concerning his boss affected the way he acted when he was with his boss. He would be called into a meeting with him, and he would show up a certain way. He wouldn't fully express himself. He wouldn't be relaxed. He would be guarded and defensive, not able to be his true self. And so he never really connected in a good way with his boss until he started thinking differently about his boss, until the paradigm shifted. So in light of that story, what do you think about God? What do you think God is like? Because you're always in his presence, and is your behavior modified because of a perception that you have of God? You remember the story of the parables? I'm sorry. Do you remember the story or parable about the talents? Do you remember the story of the parables? Everybody's just kind of looking at him thinking, I wonder if the pastor knows what he's talking about.
I remember the story of the lion.
And that's the one I wanted to forget. Yeah. There are many things in that parable that Jesus told that are significant. But the one thing that always stands out to me was there was two people that were given a certain amount of talents, and each one of them doubled what they had. You remember that? In other words, or let me back up. There's a reason why they were fruitful. When you go to the one who was not fruitful, you discover that his perception of his master was that he was a hard man, reaping where he didn't sow. And so I was afraid, and I went and I hid the talents you gave me. And so what that tells me is the two that were productive, they had a perception of their master that allowed them to take risks and to take what was entrusted to them and to use it and cause increase. But the one who saw their master in a different way was unfruitful. Do you realize that how you and I perceive God is what determines whether our lives will be fruitful or not? And if we see God as a hard man, just waiting for us to get out of line so he can get us, you will live accordingly. Does this make sense? Yeah. And so how we perceive God, the limitations that we have embraced that are really just in our mind, that are based on a lie of the enemy. Now, see, I don't know about you, but when I hear the elephant or the lion story, well, when I see that video about fleas, it just makes me want to say, God, what limitations that aren't even real am I living under? I don't want to live under a limitation that isn't there. Say this with me. I break every self-imposed limitation off of my life in Jesus' name. I break every lie of the enemy off of my life in Jesus' name. Let those lies be exposed and brought down in Jesus' name. See, strongholds are thought patterns that are contrary to the knowledge of God. Strongholds are thought patterns that are contrary to the Word of God. And they need to come down In Jesus' name, the lies need to be exposed and truth. I want to live from a place of truth. The psalmist said, you desire truth in my inward parts, and in the secret place, you will make me to know wisdom. God desires truth to get inside of us. God wants us to live from truth. Where does truth come from? Truth comes from the Word of God. That's why Jesus said this, if you are my disciple indeed, if you continue in my word, notice there's nothing about a lion here. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And then what? And you will know the truth. And the truth will liberate you. The truth will become a liberating force in your life that will set you free from the lies of the enemy. That's how important this book is. Jesus was talking to Jews that were starting to embrace him and believing. They were recognizing their Messiah. And so he says, basically saying, okay, now this is what you need to do. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And there's something that's going to happen in your life. The truth is going to get inside of you and untangle every lie. Amen. I know I don't have time to finish this message. You're removing the limitation. I want to continue today talking about breaking off limitations, but today I want to talk about breaking off the limitations we have put on God. This is also part of stepping into the great adventure. The passage of Scripture I want to look at is Psalm 78. I'm looking at verse 41 through the first part of 43. And he says, yes, again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power. The day when he redeemed them from the enemy, when he worked his signs in Egypt. Now, just stop with me and let's look at this passage of Scripture. They limited God. They limited the Holy One of Israel. Now, we can do that today, too. How did they limit him? It tells us. They did not remember his power. When he redeemed them from the hand of Egypt, that they somehow forgot about the amazing things God did to break them free from the captivity of Egypt. Those were the testimonies that they were to treasure, to talk about, to encourage each other with, but somehow they forgot about the power of God. They forgot about the powerful things God did in the past, and it limited the Holy One of Israel in the present. We limit the Holy One of Israel by not believing him to show up in power. This is what is happening in many churches today. They say God doesn't do those things anymore like he did in Bible days. He doesn't do that anymore. And if he does, it's just really rare. That's called limiting the Holy One of Israel. And there's absolutely no scriptural basis for it. This dispensational type of thinking is totally unbiblical. It's a tradition of men. And the traditions of men will make void the Word of God in our lives. We need to step away from the traditions of men. What does God say? We need to fully embrace the Word of God. What does God say about his power? What does God tell us he wants to do in our midst? What does God say about the activity of the Holy Spirit? One of the greatest problems in the church today is limiting God. Sarah was talking about it when she was leading worship today. Limiting God. Not allowing God to be fully God in our midst. And for definition purposes, in your notes, I'm defining limiting God as putting God in a box, poner a Dios en una caja. setting his boundaries and perimeters and limitations, only giving him partial permission to be who he is, bringing the finite, bringing the infinite down to the level of the finite. We try to put our limitations, the limitations that we have as finite beings, we try to put them on the infinite one. But God is the one who defines his perimeters, not us. But here's the sad thing. Our limiting God like that will hinder his activity in our lives. Our unbelief will limit the God activity we experience, what we experience of God. Just like Jesus experienced in his own hometown. Here was Jesus, the Son of God, in his town. And he could not do many mighty miracles there except, you know, heal a few sick people because of their unbelief. Because of their inability to embrace him for who he was and allow him to be that in their midst. I would like to look at some scriptures today and ask God to remove any limitations that we have put on him, to cause the blinders in our eyes to fall. I want to lean hard into the Holy Spirit. It's not going to be because my oratorical ability, I know that, but because the Spirit of wisdom and revelation enlightens us. That's what the Holy Spirit does. That's who he is. So come, Holy Spirit, today. We are pushing into you. Thank you that you are the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. Let the eyes of our hearts be enlightened in Jesus' name. Amen. The first verse I want to look at is Luke chapter 1, verse 37. Are you doing okay? Now, this verse is really interesting. It says, "For with God nothing will be impossible." How many think that's true? Okay. The angel Gabriel speaking to Mary, the messenger angel talking to Mary, he's telling her she's going to have a son, and she couldn't understand how that could be possible because she was a virgin. And then Gabriel, one of the things that Gabriel said to her was, "For with God nothing will be impossible," or "For nothing will be impossible with God." I just want to tell you that that is an inaccurate translation of that verse. I was sharing this with you actually several weeks ago. The Greek of that verse has the word rhema in it. The word rhema is translated word everywhere else in the New Testament. And yet you won't find the word word in any translation. I even checked the Spanish translations before I headed to Mexico City this year. Now, the New American Standard references it in the footnotes and tells us that Gabriel literally said, "No word from God will be impossible." That's the literal translation of that verse. Notice it has the word word in it. What Gabriel said to Mary, in essence, was that every word that comes from God, the moment that he speaks it, it becomes possible. The moment God speaks it, something has happened. The moment God releases it, something happens because every word from God comes with the power to fulfill itself. It carries the power to bring it to pass. That's what Isaiah 55:11 is trying to tell us. When God says, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please." Go ahead and put that up, James. "And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." Think about that. Every word that goes forth from my mouth, it won't return empty. It won't return without accomplishing what I sent it to do. It will accomplish what I please. It will prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Or in other words, I release it with power, and it will do what I say. The power to fulfill it is in the Word. Now we know that words are containers, right? Like words can carry love. Words can carry hate. Words can encourage and edify someone. Words can also discourage. We know that death and life is in the power of the tongue. But see, when God speaks, His words carry the power to make it happen. The Word of a God is alive and powerful, or full of power. Mary said, I don't understand how this could happen. I'm a virgin. What she heard Gabriel say was this: no word from God is without the power to fulfill itself. And see, she responded perfectly to that. Her response could not have been more perfect. She said, be it unto me according to your word. She bowed before the authority of God's word, recognizing that it came with the power to make it happen. She bowed before and received the word, and she was also receiving the power to make it happen. When I first started understanding this, I realized that God wanted me healed more than I did, because His word reveals His will to heal. And I realized that the power to heal was in the word itself. I didn't have to try to get God to come down from heaven and make good His word in my life. The power is in the word. Are you getting this? I just needed to bow before the authority of His word. Just like Mary bowed. Be it unto me according to your word. I needed to surrender to the authority of His word. How does God make things happen? He speaks. God said, light be. What happened? Light was. How does God heal us? He speaks. Jesus did it all the time. He released healing with His words, even in the Old Testament. Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. How did He heal them? He sent His word. How did He deliver them? He sent His word. The power to heal is in the word. You don't have to struggle and strive to be healed. You just need to surrender to it. Be it unto me according to your word. I bow before the authority of your word. May your will be done in my life. I surrender. For with God, nothing will be impossible. That's how they translate it. So this verse is not really saying that God can do anything. It's saying whatever He says comes with the power to make it happen. It's not saying God can do anything, because in truth, there are some things that God can't do. Did you know that? They're clearly laid out in the scriptures, and it's actually good. I'm glad He can't do these things. God cannot change. Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I change not. How many know that's a good thing? I'd hate to have to say, Mary, do you know if God's mad today or not? God never changes. God cannot deny Himself. 2 Timothy 2:13, and what that means is that God cannot break His promise to those who believe in Him, because that would be a denial of Himself and His righteous character. The other thing God can't do is He can't lie. God cannot lie. Hebrews 6:18, it is impossible for God to lie. So can we understand the reason why God can't do these things is because of who He is and His character? And you can you see that it's all good? It's good that God doesn't change. It's good that he can't break his promise. It's good that God cannot lie. No word from God is without the power to fulfill itself. Whatever God says, that is suddenly possible with God. When you receive the word, the power is in the word. Now we're talking about breaking limitations off of both ourselves and off of our perception of God. What do I mean by breaking limitations off of ourselves? Sometimes we embrace lies of the enemy that limit and restrict our lives. But the truth is, the truth about me is what God says about me. Now the devil may be telling me one thing, but whose voice am I going to listen to? And when I read in the scriptures that I am a new creation in Christ, all things are new. When I read in scriptures that if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. When I read in the scripture that I am his son, I am a child of God, that his spirit lives inside of me, that I am the temple of the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of God is living in me. When I read, I discover who I really am. And the lies of the enemy begin to fall away in Jesus' name. Well, if you're looking at the notes, you know that I'm a long ways from finishing, but I'm actually finishing. Thank you for not saying hallelujah. I really appreciate that. Let's stand together this morning. Thank you, Lord. I want us to pray. I want to ask the Lord to do things in our lives. You know, I could pray for you. I could, you know, declare certain things over you. But it takes it to another level when you do it. Did you know that? When you pray. When you declare things over your life. So pray this. Heavenly Father, I accept the invitation into the great adventure, representing you in the earth, into a life like no other. Holy Spirit, open my eyes. Open my ears. Open my heart to embrace all that you have for me. I want to see you clearly, so that every limitation will fall off my life in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Whew. Well, I'm going to give you a benediction and release you. I want to remind you that we're having a church potluck today at Pioneer Park. Do you have something to share?
So I got a picture. I saw a room. It was a normal room, but it has a door that's being ignored. Then someone opens the door, and the room is filled with a white light. And then I heard, "You were invited and encouraged to open the door." Hmm. You can't see it. That's the question. If you can't see it, ask me what the door is, and we will open it together.
Amen. Thanks. I think it's the door into the great adventure. I think it's the door into the things that we're not aware of that God wants to enlighten us and empower us and release through our lives. Praise God. So we're having a picnic today, Pioneer Park, 11:30. It's going to be a great time of fellowship. I think that everybody's going to have a wonderful time, but Samuel, you're supposed to fast during that time. No, I'm only kidding. I have to fast. Okay. You know, you've heard of specific fasts, right? You know, it's... Anyway, praise God. The benediction I want to give you is Ephesians 3, verses 20 and 21. Now, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations. I want to invite the prayer teams to come up and just be available this morning. I'm going to release you, but if you want prayer for anything, if you would like to have somebody just agree with you concerning something this morning that God's stirring in your heart, just encourage you to take advantage of that. So God bless you, saints. Hope to see you in the park very soon.